Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Welcome to day number 3, and congratulations on your diligence and your persistence. You know, so many people in life say they want to create a change in their life, but they're never willing to do anything about it. And not only have you decided to do something about it and invested in this program, but you've proven now that you really are committed, that you're going to follow through on this program. And you know what? We're just getting started. You're going to have a lot of fun with this, and we're going to develop some momentum. Now, are you doing your homework? Have you gone through and made sure you keep track of everything that passes your lips in every 24-hour period of time and writing them all down? It's really critical, because by doing this, just the awareness of what's going in your mouth and the amount of it and when it's occurring, that awareness starts to interrupt your pattern, one of those key steps that we talked about in the 6 steps to master change. So please make sure you follow through on it, and we're going to start building momentum today to help you to make the changes on a major scale. Now, what have we talked about again? Let's remind ourselves, remembering that repetition is the mother of skill. We hear it again and again, we start to not only understand it, but we begin to apply what we know. The first day we got together, we went through and said, what we've really got to do to create lasting change, what's going to be different here than anywhere else, is we're really going to raise our standards. I mean, not just for the week or to make it to a party and lose 10 pounds, but to really raise the standards for what we're willing to live like in our lives, who we're going to be physically, emotionally, and our energy level. We said that we had to change our limiting beliefs, and we worked quite a bit on that yesterday, and we said we had to develop a strategy that would work, a strategy that's been proven, and fortunately, we've got one here that's helped tens of thousands of people from virtually every walk of life. Then we said, okay, well, understanding we got to raise our standards, understanding we got to change our beliefs, understanding clearly we have to have an effective strategy. How do we make this real? And we broke that down into 6 master steps to change anything, and the same 6 steps that this program is going to take you through. Then on day 2, we said, okay, great, now you understand the fundamentals of change, so what might prevent you from doing it? And we found out that we all tend to have mixed emotions about those things that we failed to change in the past and really want to change today, i.e. we link both pain and pleasure to having the body we deserve. And we've got to make sure it's only pleasure and not pain, or we're not going to follow through. So we investigated a little bit about the power of belief systems, how we could eliminate the beliefs that don't support us and install ones that do. And Nate reviewed with you the characteristics of a person who's successful in this context. So you had kind of a role model. So let's review. We said there were 6 master steps to change. We've done one of those steps thus far. What step did we do? We had you define exactly what you want. You went beyond just merely saying, I want to lose weight, to being clear about how you want your body to be, your energy to be, your vitality to be. What was step number 2 in those 6 master steps? Do you remember? It's called leverage. And it is one of the most important steps in the 6-step process, because without leverage, I can promise you, as soon as you set a new goal, as soon as you have a new desire, as soon as you start committing to a new quality of life, you're going to be tested, because you're going to run up against barriers. Either the barriers within yourself saying, oh man, this is too much of a pain, I don't have the time to do this, I don't have the energy, or I don't want to not eat certain foods right now because I really love them. You're going to run up against pain. And the only way to deal with pain and be able to break through that wall, that barrier that holds people back from creating lasting change, is if you believe that not going through the wall will be 10 times more painful than going through it. And if you believe that once you've gone through it, the other side is pure pleasure. That is the place we have to get ourselves. Now, I know a lot of people in life who have a massive amount of pain. They have what I call major leverage. Their brain says, man, you've got to change this or you're going to experience tons of pain. You're going to get cancer if you keep on smoking. If you keep eating this way, you're going to have a heart attack. But you know what? They still don't change. And that used to blow my mind. How could somebody be wheezing and coughing and maybe even have tuberculosis, have their doctor tell them they're going to die if they don't stop smoking, have somebody whose arteries are being totally clogged up, they know they're going to have a heart attack, maybe even they just had a heart attack, and yet they still go out and eat the things that they know are destroying their body? How could you explain that? And my answer is that the truth of the matter is we haven't gotten the right leverage for this person. We haven't gotten this person to the point where their brain says, not only do I have to change, but I have to change now. And that's very, very important. See, somebody might say, well, gosh, if I keep smoking, yeah, I might get cancer. But you know what? Cancer's way off in the distance. That's someday. Where we begin to create change is when we see change not only as important, but urgent. And it's an interesting distinction to make about ourselves as human beings. If you think about it, most people do what's urgent. They don't do what's important. When you're there and you're having an intimate experience with somebody you totally love, and then the phone rings, and you pick it up, what's the matter with you? Are you crazy? That's as much more important than that darn phone. How could you possibly pick up the phone? But you know what? A lot of people do, because we all don't want to miss out. And those things that are urgent, like the phone ringing, well, you know, well, what if I missed the call? What if you did? Big deal. You'd probably be in a better state if you missed the call. and so would the person you're with. But that's the nature of human beings. Human beings tend to respond to what's right in front of them, real and compelling. It's easy to say, I'm not going to eat chocolate, till you're sitting in front of that piece of chocolate death that's sitting right in front of you. By the way, that term ought to tell you what it's really like, chocolate death. But you know what? When it's sitting in front of you, for a lot of people who like chocolate, oh boy, there went their commitment out the door because it's much more compelling. In that moment, their brain says, I'm going to have a lot more pleasure right now than pain if I eat it. Sure, someday it'll be painful. Yeah, I'll probably gain a pound or two, but that's off in the distance. We all respond to urgency. We all respond to what's compelling, what's in front of us, what's intense. So what we've got to be able to do is get leverage on ourselves so that in front of us, on a continuous basis, are those anchors that will remind us that not living by our high standards, the standards we've now committed to, costs us a sense of our identity. What I mean by that is that we start seeing not falling through as not merely gaining a pound or two, or not merely eating something that may be not that good for us, but then we can rationalize it's not that bad, but that what it really means is that we're not a person of our word. What it really means is that we're not going to have what we want in our lifetime. What it really means is we're a lousy role model for our kids. Now you might say, well, I already do this to myself. I already beat myself up like this. Yeah, but you do it afterwards. You know, that's the problem. You can't beat yourself up after you have the cake. That's what most people do. You got to beat yourself up in advance. Doesn't this sound like a great program? Aren't you glad you bought this thing and invested in it? The point of the matter is you have to do it so intensely that your brain is not willing to even consider the possibility of the chocolate cake. It's got to be outside your frame of reference. Well, you wouldn't even evaluate, am I going to have it or not? Now, are you saying in this program I can never have chocolate? No, I'm just saying whatever standards you're going to set for yourself, you got to live by them. And the only way you can live by them is if you get enough leverage. The other thing, though, is nobody wants to be motivated only by pain. We've got to see that we're going to have the body we deserve, and it's not going to be like, you know, 16 years from now someday we're going to look good and feel good. We've got to be able to see that we're going to make measurable progress in a short enough period of time that it's worth doing. And that's sometimes hard if you've got 20 or 30 pounds beyond what you really want to have. If your body's a bit flabby, you know, you don't just whip a U-turn with the Queen Mary. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to make the thing happen. So what do? Well, what you got to be able to do is you got to be able to notice more subtle changes and appreciate them within yourself so that you reinforce yourself with pleasure. You've got to start noticing the increase in energy. You got to start noticing the increase in self-esteem, how good you feel about yourself every time you stick to your word with yourself, and how that discipline in that area of your life starts giving you a multiple reward in other areas of your life as well. So the question is having the body you deserve important to you? I know the answer is yes, or you wouldn't have parted with your capital to get this program, and you sure as heck wouldn't be listening to this crazy guy named Tony Robbins right now. So obviously it's important. My real question is it urgent enough? And is it urgent enough long term? How are we going to make that happen? Well, I think the best way to answer this question is look at times when you've made a change, at least temporarily in the past, and what have you done? What's made you do it? What's made you get to the point where your brain said, enough! I got to go on a diet. Now, we don't want to do that. We don't just go on a temporary diet, but let's just look at what finally got you to act. You've done it before. This is not your first program, right? Come on, be honest with me. I can tell. You can smile. It's true. The bottom line is you've tried other things. What has made you finally stop, let's say, overeating or finally get out and exercise or finally get out and do something? I would suggest to you, you got enough pain and then something coming up was just too much pain. You got a level of threshold. Maybe it was like you couldn't squeeze in between that seat on the airplane anymore the way you wanted to. All of a sudden, you're uncomfortable. Now, that's an extreme example. You go, ah, who do you think I am? I'm not 100 pounds overweight. Well, whatever you are, 5, 10, 15, 20, what made the shift? Look at it in your own life right now. Answer the question. What really got you in times past? Think of a specific time when you were not exercising or not eating right or abusing your body with food you knew were inappropriate or eating quantities of food that were inappropriate. What finally pushed you over the edge to change it? Even if the change was temporary, what finally got you to break the pattern, at least for the moment? What did it? What did you begin to think about? What did you say to yourself? What were you anticipating? Did somebody say something to you? Or did they look at you a certain way? Did you one morning wake up and take a shower and then glance at the mirror and see something that you didn't like seeing? Did you meet somebody else who had all of a sudden made a major change and they were looking great and you thought, man, look how great they are and look how I'm feeling right now or look what I'm looking like? What pushed you over the edge? Because therein lies the first step, and what we need to do is expand it. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to think of three times in the past when, in fact, you have broken your pattern, i.e. you were caught up in, you know, a sedentary lifestyle, you knew you should exercise, you didn't do it, but suddenly you decided to go exercise. or you were caught up in overeating or caught up in eating foods you knew weren't great or drinking alcohol at levels you knew was inappropriate, and yet something stopped you. Or better yet, think of something that in the past you did for years and you've never done again. Maybe, for example, you once smoked cigarettes and you did that for years and years. All of a sudden, one day something happened and bam, it just stopped and you never smoked again. What made you stop then? What'd you do? And in your book right now, I want you to think of three examples. Two of them were for a period of time something happened and you really committed to have the body you deserve and maybe even created it temporarily. Maybe you like lost 10 pounds to get in that dress or that outfit for an upcoming party. What was it? Write down the situation and then write down what was your belief? What was it you were anticipating? What was the leverage that got you to follow through at least for that period of time, whether it was a week, a month, 6 months, whatever it was, write it down. And the third example, ideally, think of something that you've changed long term. And I don't care what it is, in any environment, whether it be the smoking example and you stop smoking for good, or a particular food or form of alcohol that you no longer will touch. Maybe it was a change in some other area of your life. Maybe you got yourself to stop biting your fingernails, or maybe you did something like you used to curse in the environment you grew up in, so you stopped that process. What was the factor? What was the leverage? What was it that made you believe that continuing this behavior would equal so much pain you had to stop and changing would equal enough pleasure? Let's analyze three examples in your life. Ideally, it would be three examples where you created a permanent change, but a minimum of one of the three should be an example like that, okay? Take out your workbook and do it right now and take 10 or 15 minutes, maybe even 20, and really search for leverage. Go for it now. Okay, welcome back. Now, I'm assuming you did your homework and we don't have to go through that little thing that we normally do after these assignments, right? Good. Make sure, if you haven't done it, stop the tape and do the exercise. I really want to support you in getting results. You're not going to get results just by listening passively. You've got to follow through. Now, I know you've all done this and followed through, so let's go to the next step. What did you learn? What has gotten you off the dime in the past and gotten you to take action, gotten you to make a change in your pattern, at least temporarily? And what did you do that lasted a lifetime? What did you have to believe about that behavior? You had to get to the point where that behavior to you was disgusting, where it was below what you stood for. You had to get to the point where you said, I am more than this. What you really did is you got to the point where you saw indulging in this behavior, not following through on something you really believed in. There was something that was completely outside your identity, that who you are as a person was so much better than how you were living, you had to change. You got probably disgusted enough that you pushed yourself over the edge, or there was something urgent enough. You were concerned about how you're going to look on that beach for that party that was coming up, or how you're going to fit in that outfit, and that pushed you over the edge. So how can we utilize some of these distinctions? Well, we want to create an environment for ourselves where not having the body we deserve equals pain on a continuous basis, immediate pain, not pain someday. Not someday because we have a heart attack, not someday because all of a sudden we look in the mirror and we're not happy, but right now. One of the simple ways you can make something urgent is I know a lot of people that have like one or two different sizes of clothing, you know, where all of a sudden they can kind of drift from one to the other. They got these like stretch pants, you know what I mean? Where they can gain an extra 5 or 10 pounds and, you know, it doesn't matter. I'll tell you something I did with myself years ago. I said, okay, once I found my ideal body weight, I'm not buying anything, 1 inch bigger than that in the waist, nothing. So if I started to gain it, and I did a couple times, sure enough, all of a sudden my pants are squeezing, I'm hurting, right? That little bit of pain was bad, but I was not about to go buy something new. Buying something new takes away the leverage. You want to get some real leverage, maybe you ought to do is go out and buy something a size smaller. Something and put it on and wear it every day until you fit. I promise you, every time you put that on and you can't fit in it, you're going to get annoyed. You're going to get what I would call a bit tinkled. Right? So we'll read in the newspaper, you know, woman gets killed by exploding zipper. You know, man strangles himself putting on clothes in the morning. I don't know. The bottom line is, we got to get leverage any way we can. And I'll tell you what, the best leverage are the things that are urgent. And every day when you have to put on clothes, that's urgent. Wearing something that's tight is urgent. Right? Somebody's saying, well, you better lose weight so you can eventually look really good. That's not urgent. You go, yeah, that's true. I probably should. But you know what? Should doesn't change anything. You just should all over yourself. You still don't change. I should change. I should do this. I shouldn't eat that. I should go exercise. I should. It's got to be an absolute must. I promise you, if you can't fit in your clothes, if it's uncomfortable just to sit around, when it comes time to eat, you're going to think twice. Does that make sense? Now, I told you this program was going to be a little crazy and insane, but it will work. Because you got to remember, what you've done up until now has not worked very well. So maybe we got to try something new. In fact, if you're not familiar with it, my ultimate success formula, the formula on how to succeed in anything, says simply this. Step one, know what it is that you really want. See, and we already talked about that. Get real clear. Step two, take massive action. After all, that's how you got in this position in the first place. Massive action, just in the wrong direction, right? Massive action in the form of staying still. Massive action on eating foods that didn't support you for a long period of time. That's massive action. You got to take massive action and turn it around. Step three, notice what's happening. Is it working or not? Is your present approach, is your present strategy getting results? If the answer is no, you got to go to step four, and that is change your approach. Do anything. If what you're doing right now isn't working, try anything else. Don't do the insanity number where you do the same thing again and again and you expect a different result. So I can promise you, I doubt seriously if you've gone out and bought clothes a size smaller and worn them. Now you say, Robbins, you're insane. You're battering me to death with this concept. That's because I want you to get serious. I want you to get committed. And I want you to create an environment where it's too uncomfortable to stay the way you are. How else could you do that? Find two or three people you totally respect. People you do almost anything to keep from losing face with. Write them a great letter. Write them a letter about who you are and what you stand for as a human being and how disgusted you've been with what you've done to your body and how you are now changing what specifically you're going to do. Especially after the next two tapes, you're going to know a little bit more about how to exercise in a totally non-stressful way in a short period of time to train your body to burn fat. You're going to learn about different kinds of foods you can eat to help cleanse your system so you have more energy and more health. Once you know these things, you might want to write these three letters and say, this is what I'm absolutely committed to doing. This is exactly how I'm committed to living. And I want you to know that I respect myself and I respect you too much to ever go back to the old way. If I ever do, I want you to call me on it. I want you to publicly humiliate me if it's necessary. I am not going back. You'll never have to do this because this is what I stand for and this is who I really am. I have shifted the quality of my life, not just for a day, not just for a week, not just for a party, but forever. And you send that letter to three people you respect who you do almost anything to keep from losing face with. I promise you, when you start looking at that chocolate death, you'll start saying, ain't worth it. Might give me pleasure for a moment, but I got too much pain. I got the pain in my body. I got the pain with myself. I got the pain with the people I've committed to. Plus, I got the pain of wearing these pants that still don't fit. Right? The bottom line is, this kind of leverage will create a change. I can promise you. But it's got to be intense enough. Now, you might say, well, Tony, these ideas are kind of cute. They're kind of interesting. They're kind of stupid, you know, but I just don't know if that's going to work for me. Then maybe you need bigger leverage. Maybe you need to tie it to something even stronger. See, you know, I've seen people who have managed to associate pain, even a sense of urgency to creating a change, but they still don't follow through. I'll give you a classic example. I've watched people in relationships, and I don't know if you've ever seen this. I know you've never done this, but you've probably seen other people do this in relationships. And that is, somebody is really unhappy in a relationship. They've been unhappy for a very long time. But they still don't change the relationship. They don't make the relationship any better because they don't think they can, and they don't leave the relationship. Why? If they got so much pain, wouldn't you think that would give them leverage? Almost anything would be better than this. Yes, but oftentimes human beings have this unique way of manipulating the future. What I mean by that is really simply this. The person says to themselves, yes, this has been painful in this relationship. It's been painful all the time. Every time I'm around this person, we end up fighting, and I hate being around them, and I can't stand this, and they don't want to work on change, and they're not committed to it. And right now, I'm totally miserable, too, but maybe someday it'll get better. See, what we do oftentimes is we feel pain today from something, we felt pain in the past about it, we just hallucinate it's going to be different in the future, even though there's no evidence to support it. Yeah, eating this food's not really great for me, I know, and it probably hasn't been very good, but, you know, I'm going to probably change in the future. And the fact that we're going to probably change in the future takes away the pain. It gives us like a way of escaping the pain without doing anything. Or some people, they can see the future is going to be horrible, and you can try and convince them, man, if you don't make this change, your future's going to be all messed up. But they think, well, yeah, maybe so. But they look at their past and go, it hasn't been that bad. So when we link pain to something and we want to get ourselves to change, what I've discovered is we've got to link pain to the past, to the present, and to the future. We've got to believe that no matter what we do, we're going to have pain unless we change. Otherwise, we'll find a way to squeeze out of it because we're so afraid of the unknown. Person says, yeah, I'm miserable now, and I've been miserable in the past, but, you know, if I leave this person, my gosh, you know, what if I was totally alone? I didn't have anybody. At least I got somebody to fight with, you know. People have an interesting frame of reference. We're so afraid of the unknown. The anticipation of the unknown, for most people, is more painful than the present that they're dealing with, which may be miserable. It's a fascinating thing about human beings. So we don't want to be just an average human being. We want to be a person who shapes our lives. We've got to take control of this force then. We've got to be able to see the future as compelling and pleasurable, and we've got to see that we've got to change things. We're not going to do it as long as we have a way to escape the pain without doing anything. I'll give you a classic example. We've all seen the movie and read the book, A Christmas Carol, right? The Dickens classic. What happened to that? Here we've got a guy who really didn't want to change, right? He thought what he's doing is okay. He was very unhappy. It's like a person's overweight, and they know they're overweight, and they're not pleased with it, but they've learned to lower their standard enough that they kind of just deal with it, kind of like that guy who just learned to live in his car, right? What happens? The guy looks around and says, well, I'm successful. I'm successful because I'm so harsh. In one night, this man's entire life changed. How did it happen? Three neuroassociative conditioning specialists showed up at his house, right? Three people that have been trained in my technology, and I didn't even meet them personally. It's just fascinating. These three ghosts show up, right? And what happens? These three ghosts give him, they get him to experience a massive amount of what? Pain. When? To his past behavior, to his present, and to his future. When he linked so much pain, there was no place to escape it, to his present behavior, what'd he do? He had no choice. He had to change. There was anything else would have worked. And as soon as he had the opportunity to do so, when he saw that, hey, my past is terrible, my present is terrible, my future is going to be even worse, and it was real, and it was compelling, and it was urgent, immediately he went out and made a shift. Immediately he found himself having to change, and as he started to search for the change, he began to realize he was not this kind of person anyway. His identity was not somebody who was abusive to other people. Inside his head, that's not what he really stood for. It's not what he really believed in his heart. See, so many of us get caught up in our habits. We lose our identity. We lose the sense of how we define ourselves as human beings, what we stand for, what we're about. We just slowly end up like that man in the car where we start saying, "Ah, it's not that bad," or, you know, "I'll change it later on," or, you know, "I'm real busy." Those kinds of excuses tear away at your spirit. Pretty soon you lose face with the most important person on earth, yourself. And there's no way to turn that around except for you to hold yourself to a higher standard again. And you're not going to do it as long as you have a way to sneak out of the pain, because facing that kind of stuff is tough to do, isn't it? But I got news for you. It's also exciting. Do you remember how excited this guy was the next morning when he realized, hey, that future hasn't happened yet. I got another chance. I could go out and make it exactly as I wanted. I can be who I really am inside before I was so afraid and so hurt and look for all these ways to keep people away. By the way, some people eat food in mass quantities to keep people away or deal with their emotions. Bottom line is, I want you to have the same kind of pleasure, the same kind of joy that he had on Christmas morning and from that day on. How do we do it? Well, you may not need this, but it certainly couldn't hurt. I've developed a pattern I call the Dickens pattern. And all I did was model this process of getting you to link so much pain, pain like you normally wouldn't allow yourself to feel. I mean, most of us, right? How do we get overweight in the first place? We don't sit there and weigh ourselves. We don't sit there and notice everything we're uncomfortable. We don't go out and put on bands that are smaller or outfits that are smaller than we can fit, and we don't do these things. What we try to do is make ourselves comfortable. We buy clothes that are a little bit bigger. We don't take our shirt or our blouse off or put on a bikini and go out there if we don't feel good about our body. We don't put ourselves in situations where we're going to experience pain. And by avoiding that pain in the short term, we create long-term pain because we take away our leverage on ourselves. So I'm going to ask you, I don't care if you need to lose 10 pounds or you got to lose 30 pounds or 50 or 100. The process is the same. I want you to get yourself just for a few moments to be willing to have enough pain and give it to yourself and make it real that your brain says, I will never allow this to happen again. Now, this is the direct opposite of everything we've always worked to do. We've always worked to not feel pain. That's why we stay the way we are. So it's going to take some courage to do what we're going to do. Plus, you might say, well, I'm not that bad. Saying that you're not that bad is how you stay where you are. I don't care if it's 5 pounds. As long as you say it's not that bad, you're not going to make it a must. It's going to be a should. It's going to be something you can justify. Listen, if you got 10 pounds of excess fat on your body, you got 10 pounds of waste on your body. That affects your vitality, affects your energy, it affects your self-esteem, it affects your pride, it affects your ability to create the quality of life that you deserve. Free yourself from that by not saying it's not that bad. Make it real bad. Now, I'm not designing this so you beat yourself up, but I think most people beat themselves up a little bit at a time all the time. I'm saying get it over with in one big splash. I mean, give yourself enough pain. Don't do it gradually. We all know that burnout metaphor of the frog, right? You stick him in the pot, and if you turn the pot up real slowly, he'll boil to death. But if you stick him in a pot that's boiling hot, what does he do? Wham, he jumps out because the pain is so intense. I'm saying you need to put yourself a boiling pot of water that says, this is how I am, and I'm not going to be this way. I'm jumping out of this right now. not what you've been doing, which is gradually, slowly adding a little bit of pound, lowering a standard, noticing you don't feel so good, it's kind of uncomfortable, your clothes don't fit quite the way you want, until one day you wake up and go, oh my gosh, look at me, I'm cooked. Well, at that point, it's a little too late. You can't wait till you're cooked. And if you think you're cooked, you're not, because we're talking. If we're talking, you're not cooked. We can turn this thing around, all right? So we're going to do a process where we link pain in the past, present, and future, and then we're going to do a process, and you're going to like this process a lot better. And once we got enough pain, our brain says, I've had it. This change is a must. Then we're going to turn around, and we're going to create tons of pleasure. We're going to create the body you deserve, and we're going to have you get associated how you're going to feel by making these changes so that you start feeling incredible levels of pleasure, because nobody just wants pain. Does it sound like it makes sense? Now, to do this, again, it takes courage, takes a willingness to be like a kid and really have some imagination, takes a willingness to let yourself feel bad deliberately for a short period of time, not just allow yourself to feel bad, but make yourself feel bad, knowing that if you really do a good job, you'll never have to feel bad again because there'll be nothing to feel bad about because you'll have made the changes necessary. Are you willing to do it? Okay, if you are and you're in your car, pull over right now. Now's the time, the moment of destiny. If you're listening on a couch, get your fanny up and stand up during this process because sitting on your butt is how you got in this position in the first place, right? Okay, now, I'm getting a little crazy here. Stand up. And if you're in the car, pull over, okay? Go, all right, stop the tape and go to the next off-ramp. Find yourself a place where you can stand up and you can go through this process. And we're going to need about probably 10 minutes to do this process, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. Who knows? Pull over quick. Ready? Have you got to that point yet? Are you ready? Are you standing up? Good. Now, here's what we're going to do. What I want you to do is two things. The first thing I want you to do, so we got a target, just close your eyes for a second. Again, I'm assuming you're not driving. Do not close your eyes if you're driving. Here's what I want you to do. I want you now to imagine the body you deserve. No, not the person you're pursuing. The best way to attract the person of your dreams is to become that person physically. Like attracts like. And if you're already in a relationship with somebody, the best way to help them to change their behavior is become better yourself. Hold yourself to a higher standard. Instead of trying to make them get better physically, work on getting yourself better. All of a sudden, you may just inspire somebody by your example. So close your eyes and think about the body you deserve. Think about what your body would be like. What would you look like when you looked in the mirror? And let's look at it a little step at a time. Check out whatever parts of your body that currently don't look quite the way you want them to look or don't feel the way you want them to feel. And see it the way it would be if it was ideal. You maybe look at your whole body from a glance from a distance, and just the minute you see your whole body in the mirror, see it the way you deserve it to be, just instantly, like wham, look at the way it really deserves to be. See how you'd stand. See what your posture would be like if you were really absolutely healthy and vital and alive. Look at the expression on your face. Is there a big smile there? What do you look like? How much energy is coming out of you? That's it. Look at your arms, your shoulders, your face. Look at your chest. Yes, you could do this naked so that you look really good and you see all the details, not hidden under some excess clothes. That's it, good. And take a look at your buttocks, your legs. Just look at your entire form and look at any parts of your body and really get it. So if you need to like sculpt it, change it, go ahead and change it. Keep refining it because you want a vivid, vivid, clear idea of what the body you deserve would look like, what it would feel like, what you could do with that body. What would you enjoy if you were in that body right now? What would you enjoy doing? Who would you enjoy doing things with? How would you breathe differently? What are some things that you would do absolutely differently if you had that kind of vitality, that kind of energy, that kind of feeling in your body all the time and that was natural? What kind of person, how would you feel about yourself if you were this body and somebody offered you that chocolate death, using a metaphor, or something else you knew just didn't belong in that body? If you were already the person that you really want to be, that really inside you know you are, how would you respond to that? Would that even tempt you? Or what would you be interested in more than food? Think about it. What would interest you a lot more than food if you were in that body? What would be your most pleasurable experience in that body? Would it be eating in that body? What would you think would be most pleasurable for you to do, to create, to pursue, to experience? What kind of things would you say to yourself? How would you feel? Would you wake up differently in the morning? Would you approach your day differently? Would you approach other people differently? Would you have a different level of confidence when you walked into a room? If somebody said, hey, let's go to the beach, how would you feel about slamming on your swim trunks or swimsuit and hitting the beach? if when you walk by, other people turn and look because they could just feel your energy, they could feel your vitality, they could see the vibrancy coming out of you, how would that make you feel? Is this something that's compelling to you? How would it make you feel to see your children seeing you being this way? If they saw you like this as an example, I wonder what that would do to their behavior if you've got kids. Interesting. So having this image, and we're going to come back to this image, we want you to keep enhancing this image. If every single day all you did was continue to focus on this, remember the story I told you about racing school? You keep focusing on this, and guess what? If every day you just take 4 or 5 minutes and you focus on this and you step in this body and feel like it's you, pretty soon your brain gets accustomed. It'll start moving in this. Unconsciously, you'll move in this direction. Unconsciously, you'll know that all of your behaviors need to lead you in this direction. You'll start to shape your behavior. Now, knowing what we're doing it for, let's be willing to look at the opposite. Let's be willing to look at what continuous abuse would do to your body. Little tiny abuses that maybe you're doing right now that don't seem like very much. What's the price that you pay for those? What's the price you pay in your self-esteem? What's the price you pay emotionally? And I want you to start getting used to that. So try this. Open your eyes for a second. Clear out the good picture. Close your eyes again. And now we're going to start the Dickens process. And again, commit right now to be willing to give yourself some pain. So with your eyes closed, what I want you to do, very simply, is I want you to just for a moment think about how you feel about being overweight, if you're being totally honest with yourself. I want you to look back in that mirror right now, and I want you to see your body as it is right now. Go ahead and look. And look in detail. And don't hold your stomach in. And then, by the way, if you're at home, you might not have to imagine this. You might just go rip off all your clothes and go stand in front of that mirror and play this tape. And by the way, I highly suggest that if you're at home. Now, if you're on the side of the road, I do not suggest this process. That would not be a good thing to do. But if you're at home, this is excellent. In fact, stop the tape right now and go take off your clothes. Boy, this will be really an intimate conversation, I'll tell you what. You really know I'm your coach then. Come on, take off your clothes. Come on, stop the tape. Stop the tape. If you're home, there's no excuse for this. I want to get you this to be this really real. By the way, this is what I did to myself years ago. Only I had to take photographs, which was pretty hard to do, taking photographs of yourself. But I put it on the counter and tried to make this thing happen so I'd see what disgusted me. So go ahead and do it right now. Stop the tape. Oh, by the way, if you're on the side of the road, hang in there. You can continue to listen. Here we go. All right, you got your clothes off? Boy, I never thought I'd be in a relationship with you like this. I'll tell you what. Now, take a look at that mirror. And what I want you to do is let's start with a side view. That's right. Nice side view. And do not pull your stomach in. In fact, if anything, extend it out and make it even worse. Make it the way it would be if you were to continue abusing your system. Go ahead right now and take a good look at your stomach. Go ahead. And that cute little word you call love handles for big globules of fat on the side of your body, take a good look at those too. Reach down and grab some of that excess skin right now and pull it out as far as you can. That's it. Come on, squeeze and just see how much you can get your hands on. That's it. Squeeze it. And just look down at that and think about how disgusting that is. Think about that. That is just pure fat. Not only does this fat not make you look good, but this fat's got to get out of your system one day or another. Or sooner or later, this fat is going to be part of what clogs your system. You cannot have a lifestyle with this in your system. Just take a look at it. How does it make you feel? Stick your stomach out and look at it. Turn around and look at your rear. Is it pronounced? Come on, take a good look. If that doesn't disgust you, what will? Look at your legs. You go, oh, my legs are okay. All right, well. Or you say, well, they're not so great. What is it? Take a real good look. I'm trying to tease you about this, but I want you to look. And what I'm going to stop doing is teasing you. And I want you to really get disgusted. Now, you know how to get disgusted. You've done it before. But this time, get it more intense. Just think to yourself, what would you say to yourself? What did you say to yourself when you stopped smoking, for example, or whatever those situations were before where you absolutely got to the point where you had to make a change in something? What did you say to yourself in those days? Did you say, this must change? Did you say, I have had it? Never again. What did you say to yourself in those other situations? Say the same things to yourself right now as you grab onto some of this excess fat. Grab a hold of it. Notice what it's like. Is there any excess fat around your neck, around your face? How about your chest? Is it sagging? Is it firm? Is it muscular? What do you look like, really? How do you feel about yourself when you look at this body? Does it inspire you? Or does it make you feel frustrated? Does it make you feel like you have a lack of self-esteem? Does it make you feel angry? Be honest with yourself. Don't disassociate from the feelings. How do you think your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, as they now say, significant other, feels when they look at that body? Do you think it just inspires them like crazy? Or do you think that there are other people that walk by who they look at and think, now that's the body I deserve? How that would make you feel to think that maybe they're more attracted to other people's bodies other than your own? Not a pleasant thought. But you think it's possible? How does that make you feel? How does it feel to know that you're not living by a standard you could easily create if all you did was commit yourself? Make it something that you've decided, I have had it. And then, you know what? That's pain in the present. Close your eyes, if you haven't already. Wherever you are, even if you're standing there naked in front of the mirror, and by the way, if you're on the side of the road now, you'd have to have imagined this, right? You have to imagine looking in the mirror. You have to imagine seeing these things. Imagine it and feel the feelings just the same. Remember, your brain can't tell the difference between something you vividly imagine and something you actually experience. So if you were at home and didn't take off your clothes and you weren't that committed, I encourage you to really go do it and play this tape back. But if you're not at home, imagine it in detail. But now with your eyes closed, let's go a step further. I want you to do two things. First, real quickly, have you ever been heavier than you are now? Because if you have, that's one reason why you might not change. You haven't hit threshold yet. You know what I'm talking about? That point where your brain says, I've had it, this is too much pain. So if you've already had a standard that was worse than where you are now, maybe it's time for you to remember that. If there was ever a time you had even more weight on your body, go back and imagine that. Imagine standing in front of the mirror naked and look at your body at that level, the way you were in the past when it was even worse. Think about that time when you were in worse shape than you are now. And you may say, there's never been a worse time than now. In that case, then look at yourself again in the mirror and ask yourself this question. How did that make me feel to know that I was not taking care of my body? How did that make me feel about myself? What was my energy like in that body, the body I did not deserve? What was my level of vitality like? Did I jump out of bed, spring out of bed, go for my goals, make things happen? Or did I barely drag myself out of bed? Did I feel tired? Did I feel emotional more often, kind of down? It's amazing what happens to us that we don't even realize is happening to us when we're overweight, because it affects not only our thought process, it affects our emotions. What did other people say to you? Did anybody make any comments? Did people look at you? How'd you feel when you had to go to certain places where your body was going to be exposed more? Maybe in a certain outfit you had to wear. Maybe again on the beach or in some environment like it. How did that feel to be overweight and to know it? How did it feel to feel like you're less than you really deserve to be? What did you say to yourself back then? What did you say to yourself when you looked in the mirror and you saw that? What were the excuses you tried to give yourself back then? Why it was okay? Why it wasn't that bad? Think about how disgusting that was. Or think about how disgusting it is. Get it so your brain says, absolutely no way. This has got to change. It's going to change now. I don't care what it takes. Get yourself to that level of commitment where the past and the present are both painful. Or at least the present is so painful you got to feel like you got to change. And let's go to the third step.